Let him play. Let him play. You're all set over here? Okay. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhaji Bijana Balabha Girivara Dhaji Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhaji Gopi Jana Balabha Girivara Dhaji Yasoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jamuna Tiravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shira Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaur Pimanandi Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 10 Verse 14 Yatha Kantaka vidhango Jantor nechati tam vyatam Jiva samyam gato lingayar Na tata vidha kantaka Yatha kantaka vidhango Jantor nechati tam vyatam Jiva samyam gato lingayar Na tata vidha kantaka Thank you. yata kantaka vidhango jantor nechati tam vyatam jiva samyam gato lingayar na tata vidha kantaka yata kantaka vidhango jantor nechati tam vyatam jiva samyam gato lingayar na tata vidha kantaka yata kantaka vidhango jantor nechati tam vyatam jiva samyam gato lingayar natata vidha kantaka yata just as kantaka vidha anga a person whose body has been pinpricked jantaho of such an animal na not icchati desires tam a particular vyatam pain jiva samyam gataha when he understands the position is the same for everyone lingai by possessing a particular type of body na not tata so avidha kantaka a person who has not been pinpricked translation by seeing their faces one whose body has been pinpricked by pins can understand the pain of others who are pinpricked realizing that this pain is the same for everyone. He does not want others to suffer in this way. But one who has never been pinpricked by pins can never understand this pain. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There is a saying, the happiness of wealth is enjoyable by a person who has tasted the distress of poverty. There's also another common saying, Vandya ki bujibe prasava vedana, or a woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. Unless one comes to the platform of actual experience, one cannot realize what is pain and what is happiness in this material world. The laws of nature act accordingly. If one has killed an animal, one must himself be killed by that same animal. This is called mamsa. Mam means me, and sa means he. As I am eating an animal, that animal will have the opportunity to eat me. In every state, therefore, it is ordinarily accustomed that if a person commits murder, he's hanged. So we're getting a picture of, as mentioned before weekend here, Narada Muni's mind, very confidential. The contemplations of Narada Muni, after he's been offended, what is his contemplation? Compliments of Shukadeva Goswami. We're getting a picture of his contemplations. Very confidential. And it gives us some indication also of the contemplations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not directly, but an indication of, you know, that fabulous common question, suffering in this world. Why? God is all good, God is all great. Why does he create a situation where there's suffering in this world? You know that one. We all know that one. So let's go to Narada Muni. He's been offended. He recognizes what's behind that offense. That what's behind that offense is pride. Now, we know Krishna doesn't like pride in the hearts, certainly in the hearts of his devotees. And over here, this is Nalakuvira and Manigriva, and they're devotees of Lord Shiva because their father, Kuvera, is devotee of Lord Shiva, but ultimately Lord Shiva is a devotee of Lord Vishnu, and so indirectly Vishnu Bhakta, but Shiva Bhaktas. And ultimately that the soul is Krishna's devotee. So how does Krishna regard, or how does Narada Muni, let's start with Narada, how does he regard people that are offensive towards the devotee? How does Narada Muni regard that? So these two he quickly assessed, because he has that capacity. These two are, you know, there's options that a devotee can take. We were discussing this during the weekend. When somebody does something that's improper or untoward or mean or harsh or something. So there's choices we can make. It should be in the mood of service. So that's Narada. He's a devotee thinking of how to serve these two. So his, the assessment previous verses is big time pride. And their pride is two things, Janma and Aishwarya. They've sons, they're born in the family of Kuvera. So they're entitled, because they're sons of Kuvera, to special respect, because Kuvera is very special and very powerful. Very powerful. Ravana was more powerful. Temporarily, at least. But very powerful, Kuvera. And we're sons that and he's rich. He's the treasure of heaven. He has fabulous wealth. And he has all kinds of other things along with wealth. He has benediction from Lord Shiva. So we're dear to Lord Shiva because we're sons of Kuvera. We're special people because we're sons of Kuvera, and we're rich. So they were so attached to that, just as we heard Bhakti Siddhanta yesterday morning speaking, too much attachment to the fruits of piety makes one incapable of feelingly call out for Krishna. That's Kunti's prayer. So I, Narada, could try to give them some lessons. He chose with King Prajinibari to just speak, because King Prajinibari was attached to worldly opulence and the pride of being a pious performer of pious activities, but he could hear. So he could hear, not so directly, but he heard through a story and then the explanation of the story and through Narda's association, he came out of that attachment and became Shuddha Bhakta. But these two, they're too much attached. They're intoxicated with pride and shameless. So let me take another option. And the other option of compassion was help them become freed from pride. And you know, like Krishna did with Indra. In his pride, he did it a certain way. But Indra's, although he gets carried away, he's a great personality. And these two, they're too much attached. So what's going to be the best thing for them? Best thing for them is they're deprived for some period of time, probably a long period of time, as long as the duration of a tree's life, long period of time where they're deprived of those sources of pride. Now, he's not mean. He's like, you insulted me. Look at this. That's not Narada. When Narada speaks, he knows when he speaks, using the present term, Krishna's got his backside. Krishna is going to make it happen. Just because he says, Krishna will make it happen. And sure enough, Krishna made it happen. So such a qualified person as Narada has to be very careful what he speaks. He doesn't fly off the handle and say something in a fit of modes of nature, ignorance, passion, or even goodness. It's what's the interest of the soul? Best if he's deprived. And so now the previous verse, 13, here 14, he's giving the reason why, the rationale. And the rationale is kantaka. Kantaka is a pinprick. It's allegory, or it's metaphor. A pinprick is painful. You know, thorns in the foot, painful. Or pinprick in the body, it's painful. And by experiencing the pinprick, by experiencing a pinprick, he'll know what is the pain of pinprick. And so when he by seeing their faces, looking for the Sanskrit word for face, but it's directly in the verse, and our acharyas both quote, by seeing the face is contorted. So he'll know what the experience is when seeing others suffer. I, Narada, want to awaken that in these two. So they need to experience depravity of the sources of pride. They need to be deprived of those sources of pride. And why? The rationale. It'll be painful for them. And it's not like I wish pain to them, but I wish compassion arises in their heart. Because in the Sanskrit is yata tata. I'm not a scholar, but I've learned. It's a flag or a signal. Yata tata means a metaphor. As this, so that. Something that we understand, that's yata, to something we don't understand, tata. he, who, these two, that don't have compassion, by experiencing the pain of depravity, like one who experiences the pain of a pinprick, when he sees the faces of others that are being pinpricked, they will feel, I don't want to see the pain of other people. That'll be good. He's not done yet. Eventually, when this whole contemplation is over, he wants them to become devotees of Krishna. He wants them to be delivered from that pride, and by deprived of the sources of pride, it will help them. But he wants them to become perfected soul, delivered pure devotees. But how to get to that place? That's Krishna will deliver them. Krishna will deliver them. He just utters it. Krishna, you'll be born as a tree or two trees in the courtyard of Nanda, and Krishna will deliver you after you live as trees for a while, long while, deprived of the sources of your pride. And then after they're delivered, they return to their position as sons of Kuvera, but now they're pure devotees because they've been delivered by Krishna. So now they have the opulence and this and that and the other thing, but they're not feeling prideful because they become pure devotees. They become purified by the mercy of Narada. That's his intention, not retaliation or causing them suffering. It took a while. It wasn't a pleasant experience. The ride wasn't lovely for the two sons of Vera to become trees and stand there as trees do, tolerating this and that and the other thing. But so tolerance is necessary to help us progress on the path of bhakti. So he made an arrangement for that. And the conclusion was pride was gone. Krishna delivered them. They became pure devotees. They had their prayers at the end when Krishna delivered them. They're very wonderful. They had the realization. Oh, they didn't say, oh, Narada was so cruel, he cursed us to become trees. They had the realization that Narada was being very kind, and Krishna was behind Narada's kindness. So we are now free from this abominable contamination of pride. In the purport, Prabhupada quotes two sayings. The happiness of wealth is enjoyable by a person who has tasted the distress of poverty. Well, people who have wealth, they certainly think that they have happiness. But even more so is the happiness of one who has been poverty-stricken and then somehow good fortune comes. It's the relief of the misery plus the benefit of now the wealth. So they feel something in addition to the person who's just wealthy. But that's, he's quoting the saying. And then the other one is, a woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. So what to speak of men? Can't understand what a woman who has given birth, the pain of childbirth that she undergoes. At least in this lifetime, we won't know. Even if medical science tries to make it otherwise, we'll never know. I had this little exchange with one, this is anecdotal, but one devotee had to be hospitalized because he had kidney stones. And he got the kidney stones, he disclosed later, because for some period of time he was working at a farm that grew tomatoes and he ate a lot of tomatoes, and the tomatoes formed kidney stones, so he had to have surgical operation to remove the kidney stones because they were a bunch of them and too big. We couldn't like just pass them. Had to have surgery. But he tried passing some and it was too so painful. He was describing this to me, and the person who was right in front of us was a mother who had given birth to two children. And she volunteered. I also had kidney stones, and it was more painful than childbirth. Now, what do I know about either of them? But she did, because she's experienced both. And one is more painful than the other. So, men, we have the opportunity to experience more pain than childbirth in this life, and we just get some kidney stones. Well, we won't know that until we have the experience. So that's the message here. Narada wants that for them. And one more point, we'll wrap up. During this weekend, somebody, a college student, was going on and on and on about the suffering in this world and how to understand the suffering of the world when God is great and God is good, and what should we do? You know, why does God do it and what should we do? Well, not do it, but why does he permit it? Because he's good and great. Same standard question. Now, it's not that we can't be compassionate unless we've experienced a pinprick. We can be compassionate, we see someone's face contorted, we know that they're in pain, but we won't, the words that Prabhupada are carefully chosen, he won't understand that pain. We can understand they're in pain, but we won't understand the pain. Compassion is possible without experience of suffering. So there's this rhetorical message that some people say, well, you have to have pain in order to experience happiness. We have to accept the bad with the good, because that's just the way it is. And the bad helps us understand the good, which is like, you know, people have been in poverty, then they can understand the happiness of wealth. So there may be some element of truth that you'll experience greater happiness of wealth when you've had poverty for some time, but it's not that you have to experience pain of poverty in order to feel some. So there's it going to the absolute position quickly. There's the absolute position of forgetfulness of our relationship with Krishna. That's the greatest suffering. In simple language, the root cause of suffering is ignorance. Vishwanath says, ignorance results in ignorant desires, results in ignorant activity, results in suffering. The root is ignorance, and the original ignorance is ignoring Krishna. So a compassionate devotee like Narada, or like we're trying to become, is not simply interested in causes, like big amongst millennials and certainly amongst college students, is social activism. Sundry? Social activism. And, you know, and our devotees who are in that age group, it's big. Now, it's totally incomplete. Doesn't mean don't have concern about gun violence and this and that and the other thing. But what's the root behind it? Why is that there? You do something about that, and it's a Band-Aid, or the modes of nature are going to come out in some other way. The people that have this mode of ignorance, it's going to come out in some other way. They'll find a way around the law or whatever it is. It's not the solution. It doesn't mean don't have laws, but it's not the solution. Or, I remember some years ago, Anutima invited to one of our North American leadership conferences a gentleman who is a vegetarian advocate, powerful speaker, because his little presentation in a nutshell was, I used to be a cattle rancher, and the happiness I was expecting happened. One day I was able to write a $1 million check from the fruits of being a cattle rancher. And then I forget, there was a turning point, something happened. I guess he visited a slaughterhouse and saw the horror of a slaughterhouse. A little light went on. And so he did a 180 U-turn. And now he's like a public target for the meat industry or the cattle industry, because he goes everywhere saying, I was there, I did it, a light went on, and this is horrible. And I'm feeling, I'm going to suffer a whole bunch because I've given suffering to these other living entities. And he wasn't speaking the karma message, which Prabhupada speaks in the purport. But then, carefully, Anutama was advising that we don't become animal rights activists, the social activist of animal rights, because that's incomplete. But they, animal activist people, can become appreciative that the Hare Krishna people have a similar view, although our approach to the problem is different than become an animal rights activist. Our approach to the problem is awakening of Krishna consciousness, or removing the ignorance that's the root cause of such a behavior. Because you change that behavior and the ignorance is going to come out some other way. Guaranteed. We're not against what they're doing, but we're not animal rights activists. We're devotees. And we can be, friends of the court, so to speak. It's not a bad principle for devotees who are doing outreach, particularly outreach to young people today, to speak about the importance of becoming vegetarian. And as people understand about being vegetarian, at the right time, in the right way, in the right mood, or in the right relationship, and let's go to the next step, because that's incomplete. We probably all have been asked, one time or another, about why you're vegetarian. Because when you're vegetarian, you're taking life, so whether you're taking life over here or life over there, what's the big deal? You're taking life. Why a vegetarian? Now, there's many different ways of answering that. Greater pain, lesser pain is one. Better to give lesser pain than greater pain. Or there's another one there's many other explanations. But Prabhupada's explanation is very simple. Yes, therefore we offer, before we take anything, we offer to Krishna. We're Krishnatarians, not vegetarians. No mincing. It's something like a little sharing and almost done. New York Rath Yatra, some years ago, one of the services that I was doing that year was organizing the question answer booth. And generally I like to come at the end because, other sannyasis and VIPs that had discretionary time could be at the, good persons to be at the question answer booth, put them first out of respect. Then I was towards the end. So when I sat down, there was, it's New York. People ask, lively and challenging questions. That's New York. So when I sat down, the first question was by a fellow that stood up and spoke really loudly, saying, "What's the Hare Krishna position on gay and lesbian topic?" Silence. So I said, our position is Krishna's position. That's what our position is. And Krishna says that the purpose of sex life is one thing. That's the design of this body. The God-given purpose is procreation. And other than for procreation, we don't support that. Pause from his side. He said, that was a good answer. Now, he was like, he had his boxing gloves on, ready to say, you know, combat anything I had to say, but he didn't. We're devotees of Krishna. We do what Krishna says. And it makes sense. God-given purpose is this. We follow the God-given purpose, and otherwise, we don't. End of discussion. I expected he would come back with, you know, 20 different things, because he's a New Yorker. And at least in this case, that was a good answer. Good response. Thank you. So now the final. Why so much suffering in this world? Similar to, we can get an understanding about Krishna's mind from Narada's mind. And they're not, Narada's not Krishna and vice versa. But why is Narada, and why does Krishna permit suffering? It's to correct the misdirected use of free will. Now, can Krishna do it some other way? Well, some people say, why doesn't Krishna just take away free will? Just have a lobotomy. And you don't have any discretionary power, and so there's no responsibility. You can do bad things, and there's no responsibility, because he took away free will. We can't take free will away, because that's intrinsic to the soul. Therefore, those that misuse their free will, one of the purposes is to help the individual, the suffering individual, understand there's something wrong here about how I'm using my free will. I need a different approach. Now, people generally are very stubborn. Prabhupada's phrase is dog obstinate. They suffer, and they do it again, and they suffer, and they do it again, and they suffer. They try it a different way, but they're basically doing it again. Punak, punak, charvata, charvana, chewing the chewy, again and again. They don't get it. That's not Krishna's responsibility. He's giving them the opportunity. And he sends his devotees canvassing. Like our founder Acharya. It's so clear in his Bhaktivedanta purports and his message. Don't go there. There is an option. Go here. Step back from that position of ignorance. Let the light go on so there's knowledge instead of ignorance, and go towards the light. Go towards Krishna with service, with love and devotion. The invitation is abundant from Super Soul, from their personal experience, from teachers and teachings, and, you know, different varieties around the world of some similar teachings. And, you know, some people get it and some people don't get it. Like animal slaughter. Abundant is animal slaughter from at least three of the primary religious organizations in this world. without naming the names. And it's authorized. At least some persons of those groups of people say it's authorized. And then there's some persons, at least from two, that say it's not authorized. So people are making choices, even within theistic lifestyle, that's doing that which is bringing them suffering in the name of, it's okay. Our teachings say it's okay. So what's your problem? They choose to not get it. That's a challenge. They feel justified to be violent. So our message is not just don't be violent. Our message is take shelter of Krishna in pure devotion. What does Krishna feel about this? And let's do what Krishna feels about this or instructs about this. That's our position in any case. Therefore, it's Bhagavad Gita as it is. No hedging. As Dravida was saying very nicely, Prabhupada's purports are no hedging. And some people want hedging, so they reject the teachings. Or they accept some and reject some others, which is... Anyway, these things are going on. So our task, our opportunity, is to take, to hear the teachings without filters, and at least know what the teachings are, and then strive to come to that standard of the teaching, pure devotion. And this is a nice little section, Narada's contemplations, what's good for these two men, two spirit souls? What's really, ultimately good for them? And then let's do that for their welfare, ultimate welfare. Okay, so any discussion? In the front here, and then Rock Talk.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Did you mean to say that it is not...
A little louder, please.
Is it not good to be an activist?
Up. What?
Did you kind of mean to say that it's not good to be an activist? I mean to advocate for?
Devotees interacting with social activists have to be thoughtful about that interaction. You're at a university and social activism is big deal. Political activism, social activism, big deal. So, I wouldn't, this is, are you seeking advice how to interact with those people? That's your question?
Yeah, is it good to interact with them or is it good to be an activist?
It's not. It's good to be, to recognize A and B. Their effort is to reduce suffering. B, it's incomplete. It's cosmetic. Using Prabhupada's another expression is blowing on a boil. Right? Painful, you blow on the boil and the pain subsides. Then you stop blowing on the boil, the pain is still there. Didn't stop the boil. You blew on the boil. So what's behind the boil? There's some infection in the body. So address the infection in the body, and that's the best method than blowing on the boil. So for you, should you take part in social activism? Recognize the intent of those people, but the incompleteness, because it's the bodily conception minus the spiritual conception. So that's incomplete. So you can be using the expression that Anuttama gave. And these are not his words. Anuttama is our communications minister for the world and for North America. Communications people want to see how we can connect with other constituencies in the world. Right? Here's our, you know, one of our members in the audience is interested in interacting with people of other faiths. Interfaith dialogue. Very much interested. So we're not neglecting what our faith is. We're acting, feeling, living, breathing what our faith is. And our faith is what the teachings are. It's Shuddha Bhakti. We don't neglect people over there that are doing something else other than Shuddha Bhakti, because ultimately behind what they're up to is Shuddha Bhakti, for example. But they're not living it for a variety of reasons. So we interact with those people, but we're not advocates of the social activism, political activism thing. We understand where they're coming from. We may, you know, yeah, gun violence should stop. Just taking that as an example because it recently came up from one of our youths. Should I or shouldn't I? And the answer that I gave is what I'm giving you. No. Because you know what the root cause is. It's anger. You're not going to stop anger by having gun control laws. Where does that anger come from? It's the modes of nature. Kamesha, Krodesha. The root problem is ignorance. So you're a devotee. You know that, and the other cause people don't know that. So think of creative ways that you, youth, at such and such location, can use your Krishna consciousness to help influence at least some of those people in that gun control movement to understand that, you know, it's insufficient. I'm not a, you know, I think it's a good plan, but it's very insufficient. And if that little light goes on because you connect with a cause that you, I relate to the cause, but it's insufficient, you have to be discriminating, a little creative, how to do that. But we don't just jump in the pool and become a gun control, you know, activist. One of the universities that I visited this year, this semester, previous semester, was they're coming to the devotee program, Bhakti Yoga Club program. They're coming every once a week, and they're really involved in different organizations on campus. They're like an organizer of those different organizations on campus. So there's no intent to say to that person, don't do those things. That would be insulting. They wouldn't be able to hear it. They wouldn't be able to do it. They're activists. Many, many, many organizations. And they like it. They feel this is the right thing. So we don't say it's not the right thing. But that same person likes to go to devotee gatherings and engage in kirtan and hear Bhagavad Gita and visit Gita Nagari. It's Penn State University. So, great. Hey, we're having this gathering at Gita Nagari. Yeah, I think I have like three different things I have to do for these causes that I'm involved with, but I think I can come for, you know, for half a day. Okay, great. Come on over. We'll have a place for you. So we're not confrontational about the incompleteness of their effort or until the time is right to educate the incompleteness of the effort. Let them read it in Prabhupada's writings, and then they become whatever they become, curious or disturbed or what's going on. So whatever. And then because there's some relationship, then an explanation can be given at the right time, in the right way, by the right person. But we don't involve ourselves with such causes because we understand it doesn't address the root. We don't blow on the boil. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Raktak. Raktak. He had his hand up, so yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Speak right into the microphone, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Did Srila Prabhupada, was he supportive of Dr. Martin Luther King's work in the civil rights movement?
Sure. Why not? It's incomplete. It's very incomplete. But he was supportive. You know, same. You know, he didn't like march on Martin Luther King Day or something, or advise the devotees to go out and march on Martin Luther King Day, or, you know, when the march goes to Washington or something. But, you know, his intention is good. But it's incomplete. Is there bodily conception of life still in America? A little bit. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We were hearing in the retreat prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. He was actually praying for the association of Narada Muni, his spiritual master. And even today we are hearing how important it is to receive guidance.
How important it is to do what?
Receive guidance, like proper
guidance, yes.
In order to move towards Krishna.
Yes.
So my thoughts are particularly going towards what are some ways we can deepen that relationship with the spiritual master and those guiding us?
Hearing and service. Too simple, right? So then we'll go to, you know, the message of the weekend. Prayerfully, or prayerfully means the consciousness behind the service and the hearing. For the purpose of deepening the connection, service and hearing. It's not just a behavior, it's the consciousness behind that makes it more, that deepens the mood. Okay?
Sometimes it's difficult to have that prayerful mood.
Sometimes what happens?
It's difficult to have the prayerful mood. We are hearing, but the mood...
Well, you know, that we're conditioned souls. And sometimes it's greater, sometimes it's lesser. Mm-hmm. We're unsteady. Anishtha bhakti. What to do? Strive for nishtha. Strive for the deeper connection. That desire itself is powerful. It energizes the hearing and the service. But, you know, we start where we are. We may want recognition. We may want a pat on the back. We may, you know, we may have something. Mm-hmm. Because we're not pure yet. The strive for the bhakti principle. That's how you deepen it. Do the right things in the right way or the right consciousness. Strive for that, both. Not one or the other only. Last question over here. Oh, you have another one. Two questions. Yeah. You have another question. You unroll. Go ahead.
So, Maharaj, I was thinking about compassion.
Thinking about?
Compassion.
Compassion.
Yeah. Like here, Narad Muni is showing his compassion to Manigriva and Nalakuvera. My I was especially thinking about book distribution, because when we go on book distribution, like, compassion is a very important element.
Very important.
Yeah.
And if you don't have it, you'll learn it.
Yeah. So, yeah, my question was, like, how can we deepen that? Because sometimes I see
by desiring to deepen. Keep doing the activity, and what will happen is when you become fruitive,
yeah,
something else happens besides what you feel. It's what happens, you know, the reaction of people. Rejection, 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 insulting rejection, slap in the face, get out of here, etc. Ooh. Now, that's not the only cause for that to happen, but it's almost for certain that will happen in the fruitive mentality. If you're alert to the consciousness behind the activity, you'll understand that. Bhakti helps you understand that. Mm-hmm. And we're unsteady, so sometimes and sometimes, unsteady bhakti. But it's a fantastic activity for learning compassion and humility. Because there isn't shelter otherwise. Mm. The fruitive mentality is, it burns like fire. So, two more and we're going to end.
Thank you, Maharaj. A little bit of my experience with interfaith participation.
Okay, let's go.
In a way, in the grasp I had participating, there's some social activism beneath those interfaith groups.
Sure.
And every time that our participation comes from the teachings of Srila Prabhupada,
the transcendental position,
the people get inspired, the people loves it every time that, oh, yeah, true. I don't mean that we have to go, you know, and picketing and going and participating on marches and stuff, but when Prabhupada's words and Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita comes out into those meetings, people feel inspired, people hear something different, and that is what I like of these interfaith things, because I feel like ISKCON is truly taking part, an active part, in a tangential position.
Good. And
I love it because of
and
that.
Give the microphone to Subal. And once they've heard it and heard it and heard it, when they're in the position of standing on the pulpit or giving their sermon or doing their thing, it'll come out of their message. They're not wearing tilak and shaved head and dhoti or sari or whatever, but the message will come out, the message of Shuddha Bhakti. Or, you know, some level below that, but something that's deeper. Great. We don't have to take credit. Let them take the credit. Speak the message of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam as it is, from their position. But they have to hear it, and they have to hear it respectfully. You have to stand in line. Sundari Radha's next. Sundari Radha. She's right there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just, if I heard you correctly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you said compassion is possible without the experience of pain?
Without?
The experience of pain.
And well, the material feature of compassion, yes. Like, just that example, hearing from this mother that said to me, kidney stones are more painful, passing kidney stones is more painful than childbirth. I've never experienced either. But her face would made it really clear. And her words. And her character. So there was empathy, but incomplete. So the distinction is understanding. That was missing. The understanding in the subjective sense of understanding. Yes? Is that an answer? Okay. So, Balan, you got the last question. We're going to end.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. I remember seeing one time one of my very good friends back, you know, in time, in this gathering with his Guru Maharaj, His Holiness, now I got a blank
somebody.
In my head. But Maharaj went and whacked him with his can right in the head in front of everybody. And
something
that was
Kamal Krishna Maharaj. He did something no, like that regularly.
No, it was Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Huh? Gaur Govinda Maharaj. Gaur Govinda Maharaj whacked my friend right in the head in front of everybody. And, you know, and saying, you're, you know, rascal or something like that, whacking. And that was the end of my friend. His faith waned down and eventually he disappeared. Very nice, wonderful devotee. You like him very much also.
Therefore,
in the situation of Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they got punished by Narada Muni, but they came out being great devotees. So there is a choice, there's a qualification that the person who is instructed by the punishment of the spiritual master have the solution or the resolution of becoming actually a devotee or becoming purified. So they have to be that qualification, isn't it? And on the receiving end, on the person who is receiving the instruction. I'm asking.
So you're giving an anecdotal example of where punishment didn't have a good result.
Right.
And therefore, what are you looking for?
What is the qualification that makes it, or in the case of Manigriva and Nalakuvara, they actually became purified, actually make that choice?
Your friend, Super Soul is in the heart of everyone, including your friend. And the short-term result was the friend went away. I don't know, and maybe you know, the long-term result of that person going away. I'm not going to judge Gaur Govinda Maharaj doing what he did. I learned not to judge. I would never do something like that. Meet disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He did it regularly. I won't give the name, but somebody came late, like 5 minutes late. He took off his shoes and whacked them in the head with his shoes. Slippers. They were never late again. Now, they didn't leave, but you know, they learned something. So now, maybe somebody went away. Maybe some persons that didn't understand the affection that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had for people when he would, their phrase is, give them the sauce. And they laugh. Because they knew it came from a place of love. Now, there may very well have been persons who would have nothing to do with Tamal Krishna Maharaj because he did that consistently. But there are those that became deeply connected to him, knowing that when he did that, it was from a place of love. Now that's Prabhupada's teaching, is before discipline, love. This is the Gurukul dialogue. Once that is in place, then discipline. Now, what's the range and what? That's another thing. Never hit was Prabhupada's teaching with children. And the teachers hit. And they did worse than hit, too, behind physical. But from a place of love. So now I don't know what that relationship was that Gaura Govinda, from his perspective as a luminary, I regard him as a luminary, intimately, deeply connected to Krishna in Super Soul, why he did what he did sometimes. I'm not going to judge that. And I don't know what the consequence of... So your question is, what's the criteria? And you have to know your limitations. You have to know the relationship. You have to know your nature. I could never do that with anybody. Hit anybody. Privately or publicly, what to speak of publicly. I could never do that. Maybe I should. Maybe I should reprimand people more. You know, some people say, Maharaj, you never scold me. Is that because you know I can't take it? I said, yep. But on rare occasions, I have chastised, rare occasions, verbally. And then, you know, not you nonsense, none of that kind of language, but just reprimand somebody. But sparingly, just that's my nature, and Gaura Govinda's is a different nature. So the criterion depends upon the person, their personality, their understanding of the relationship, their connection with Super Soul. Be very careful. As a parent, as a teacher, as a head of state, you know, same. The mission is deliver the person from birth and death. Now, who am I, what the person, what relationship? So those are the criterion to look at. And it's different for each of us. Srila Prabhupada ki.